Good weekend to you, my Walking with Jesus friends. I wonder which was more exciting to you as a child, your birthday presents or Christmas presents? And what is the most outrageous gift opportunity you've ever had? Let's return to join Queen Esther standing in the throne room of King Xerxes. You'll recall we watched yesterday as Esther entered the inner court without invitation, and in so doing was risking her life, for the Persian throne room was so important, armed guards protected the king from anyone entering without invitation. If the king did not extend his golden scepter to the intruder, indicating his willingness to receive them, it was certain and immediate death, according to Esther chapter 4, verse 11. Queen Esther had spent 3 days fasting and praying that God would protect her, soften the heart of the king, and give her the right words to say to the king, which would help him understand the terrible holocaust which was about to happen in his kingdom and would cost Esther and every Jew their life. Esther chapter 3, verse 13. Not only was Esther received by the king, his question to her provided her a totally unexpected opportunity. The king had said to her, "What is it, Queen Esther? What is your request? Even up to half the kingdom, it will be given to you." Esther chapter 5. Esther's response was calculated and wrapped in 3 days of prayer. "If it pleases the king, let the king, together with Haman, come today to a banquet I have prepared for him." Esther chapter 5. Now that might seem both presumptuous, imagining the king's busy schedule would have time for a banquet, and counterculture, for we must remember in those days men and women ate separately. You'll recall the huge banquet King Xerxes had given for all his nobles and officials lasted 7 days and was a men's only event. At the same time, Queen Vashti was giving a banquet for the women in the royal palace, according to Esther chapter 1, verse 5 to 9. Now, we don't know how many other people were invited to this banquet Queen Esther was giving, or would it be better to consider it a private, extravagant dinner for the king and Haman? The record tells us the king was so excited he canceled his schedule for that day, summoned Haman, and together they went to the banquet prepared for them by Queen Esther's chefs. During dinner, the king asked again, "Now, what is your petition? It will be given to you, even up to half the kingdom it will be granted." Esther chapter 5, verse 5 and 6. Once again, Esther had a remarkable opportunity to achieve her wildest imaginations and dreams, yet her heart was obviously God-focused and fixed on finding the best solution for saving the lives of all her people. Strangely, Queen Esther's response was that the king and Haman would return the next day for another banquet, at which time Esther promised she would answer the king's question and bring her petition. Now, I find no good reason in the Bible record for Esther to have delayed and requested a second banquet, and thus I'm convinced she was doing as she felt she had been instructed by the Holy Spirit of God. What Esther did not know is what Haman would do in the meantime, and how that would dramatically affect this remarkable account of God's sovereignty and his watch care over his people. There's a life lesson here, my friends, which we've seen before in our journey through God's Word. God is timeless and omniscient. He's able to see all things and understand all things, past, present, and future. God knew what Haman would do with that additional day, which would position the details of this remarkable story to accomplish God's greater purposes. The remainder of Esther chapter 5 explains that as Haman left the banquet, he was in very high spirits, feeling a strong confidence that he was among the most privileged men in the kingdom, enjoying the friendship and blessing of the king. But as Haman walked past the gate where the officials, including Mordecai, were seated, Haman again was confronted with Mordecai's refusal to bow before Haman in honor. Haman's anger was ignited, and upon arrival at home, he gathered friends to vent his anger. The result of that was a decision to construct a pole for impaling, 50 cubits high. A cubit was about 18 inches. Thus, this instrument of death would be nearly 75 feet tall. Its purpose would be only one thing. Haman was encouraged to ask the king in the morning to have Mordecai impaled on the pole. Then go to the queen's banquet and with the king enjoy yourself. Esther chapter 5. Haman was evidently well pleased with this suggestion, ordered the construction of this device of death, and went to bed that night anticipating a wonderful day the next day. Esther, on the other hand, likely went to her palatial quarters after that banquet, grateful to God for all he had done to allow her access to the king and his willingness to come to the first banquet and his agreement to come to the second banquet. But also, I imagine, Esther spent much of that night praying that God would again grant her favor with the king and the right words to say to the king that would not infuriate the king but would help him see the seriousness of the crisis. We do not know if Mordecai had any idea what was going on behind closed doors in the palace. So in closing today, I ask you, my friends, what might you imagine God was thinking and feeling as he watched these events and the attitudes of the people involved? Remember, several scriptures tell us God is always watching and fully aware of all that is transpiring here on earth. Oh, one last question. What do you think the devil was doing that night, as I'm sure he was working hard to influence all aspects of this story so the Jews in Persia would be exterminated as Haman planned? Let's pause and reflect. What's going on in your story right now? What do you see? What is God seeing as he watches you? And what is the devil seeing as he watches?